It is the Doomsday Podcast, late Sunday night, the aftermath of the Cowboys' 12-10 loss to New Orleans, right there in the French Quarter. Just right down the street from the Superdome is Ed Werder. He was on the scene and had a lot of good reports leading up to this one and has been down there in the locker room. You'll hear Ed's visit with Jason Witten coming up in just a little bit. But, Ed, I do think if before this game, if anyone on the Cowboys had been told, you'll hold them out of the end zone. In fact, you'll hold them to 12 points. Just a few field goals. I think the Cowboys would have felt really, really good about their chances. How surprising, not surprising so much to me that they lost, but that they went in there and lost 12-10, almost exactly like the score last year when the Cowboys won a game over New Orleans 13-10 at AT&T Stadium. What's your gut reaction to this one?
Well, there was certainly a lot of frustration, in the locker room talking to players from Ezekiel Elliott to Jason Witten to Amari Cooper. I mean, the Cowboys had the good fortune of coming to the Superdome and playing the Saints without Drew Brees. They allow no touchdowns, and they still lose the game. That's not the way you would expect it to play out. I mean, this is just the third time in franchise history that they've lost a game where they've scored a touchdown and didn't allow a touchdown, and the other two occurrences were way back in 2002. So, a very uncommon outcome given the performance on the field. And, Elliott, who had, 35 yards rushing and 2 yards a carry, did score a touchdown, also had a fumble, said, hey, we didn't come out and play winning football at all. The defense did a great job. And on the offensive side, we let them down. The Cowboys only had 9 possessions in the game, and 2 ended on fumbles by Elliott and Witten. So a tough way for the Cowboys to lose. But, I think the criticism that they were getting that, yeah, you're 3-0 and you've scored 30 points in every game, and won handily, you're really not that good a team. You haven't beaten anybody. Even though they lost this game, I still think they established some level of legitimacy as one of the best teams in the NFC. While the one side of the ball, the offensive side, wasn't impressive, the defensive side was.
Yeah.
And albeit it was against a backup quarterback, but a backup quarterback whose team went up to Seattle and won. So I don't think all is lost, but I do think it'll be an interesting week for Kellen Moore as a first-time offensive coordinator, having to address failure really for the first time in that role. I mean, this wasn't Scott Linehan's fault tonight. And I think they've got some injuries. Tyron Smith, the left tackle, left the locker room in a walking boot with what Jerry Jones said was a high ankle sprain. They've got Green Bay coming in this week, and they've got Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith, two of the best pass rushers in football right now, to bring to bear against Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. And then Randall Cobb left with a heavily bandaged right hand. So there's a little bit of a mini crisis, I think, for the Cowboys coming out of this game.
And still 3-1. You're right. In the whole scheme of things, still in fine position. But it's surprising, interesting to me that you still believe in some ways this this legitimized some things. And I get what you're saying. That was three teams that were pretty poor, although the Giants certainly looked like a little bit of a different team with the youth movement there and the rookie quarterback Daniel Jones. We'll see if they start to look like a different team moving forward. I am, stay with the offense a little bit. Dak had that flawless third quarter that he's become known for this season. He's been remarkable, and he finally kind of got rolling that third quarter. The rest of the game, though, it just wasn't totally working. They couldn't extend drives. Even in the fourth quarter, when they kind of needed to get something going, they were having to punt it back. Thought Dak, certainly not one of his better games, made some good throws. I thought the one, Ed, and I'm sure people were talking about this in the postgame locker room, I know Dak was, that throw he made on the run, and he had Cobb in the back of the end zone who had come open on the scramble drill. Yeah, that's one, they had to settle for that 28-yard field goal in a game that they lost 12-10. That ended up being a huge moment.
Yeah, I just think that, I talked to a lot of the Saints coaches on the field before the game, and their feeling was, coming out of the game last year, that they felt like Dak Prescott was a better quarterback from a passing point of view than maybe they gave him credit for going into that game. That being said, they still didn't think he was necessarily a great quarterback. And so, you know, going into this game, their defensive approach was, hey, there's two matchups that we can win up front, and that's Sheldon Rankins against Connor Williams and Cam Jordan against Lael Collins. And so what they tried to do was they felt like the three opponents before their game had allowed Dak too many really easy reads, that he was able to determine pre-snap where he was going with the football a high percentage of the time, and that created a lot of success. So they wanted to try to disguise their coverages for as long as possible and force Dak to make his reads after he had the ball in his hand, thinking that would cause, you know, some kind of hesitation and create the opportunity for the pass rush to get there. And I think, without question, they hit Dak Prescott and created pressure more than any of the three previous teams that played against him. And then they also felt like it was to their advantage if they could get a lead, if they could stymie the running game. Because, I mean, they think Ezekiel Elliott's the best running back in football, bar none. And so they wanted to concentrate on stopping the run on the early downs and forcing the Cowboys to play a drop-back passing game rather than a play-action passing game. Interesting to note, their biggest play of the night was a play-action pass from Prescott to Blake Jarwin that set up their only touchdown of the night on Ezekiel Elliott's short run. And then they also had Marshawn Lattimore play man-to-man against Amari Cooper. He traveled with him. Wherever he went, he defended him. And that's something they hadn't done since week one with DeAndre Hopkins, and it worked to their advantage. So I would say that everything the Saints tried to do matchup-wise and from a defensive game plan point of view that they told me about before the game was really played out. The players executed it exactly the way the coaches had drawn it up, and that doesn't probably happen very often.
No, I don't think that it does. And they have to be ecstatic that they got out of there with a backup quarterback, compromised at the quarterback position, and win that game without even getting into the end zone. That is it's not like Sean Payton goes to battle and is dying to win games with no touchdowns, but I think he'll take it certainly when it happens. And then Jerry Jones quoted after the game, Ed saying, complimenting the coaching for the Saints. I think that's partially because
he's crazy about Sean Payton. People love another person like Jerry loves Sean Payton.
That's true. It's true. There's a boy. It's almost like you and Kenny Chesney or something like that. All right. I thought you would like this thing. John Owning, who's done some stuff for the Morning News, had this note. This is one I'd like to see Ed. You could just run with this or whatever. But and they said that they only ran play action. If early in the deal, I don't know how much of the TV broadcast you could see. You were in the press box here at the stadium. They made this. They had like Captain Play Action. They made Dak into some kind of superhero, and it just talked about how unbelievable 84% completion percentage when they do play action and how incredible he was. They used the play action tonight on 7 of 35 dropbacks. So, it's kind of hard to explain how something that had been so incredible, they just didn't use it much. Yeah, go ahead.
Part of that equation, if you're going to use that dimension successfully, and I think we all believe the Cowboys should be very effective at that given the fear that exists among defensive coordinators with Ezekiel Elliott in the backfield. And as I said, the Saints believe him to be the best running back in football, and they played Todd Gurley, three times. But they haven't given up a 100-yard rusher in their last 30 games, so they're pretty good at stopping the run. And if you're not effective running the football, then play action's really probably not going to create what you're looking for on the back end. And, I do think it hurt the Cowboys not to have Michael Gallup in this game. Randall Cobb wasn't a big factor. They really didn't have anybody in the this almost reminded me last year of early in the season in the passing game as far as, their weapons were. I mean, Amari Cooper said after the game, I asked him how much of a factor his sore ankle was, and he said not very much. So he didn't say not at all. And he also had a big, had cut a big wad of tape off his right ankle. So he obviously was wearing it for protective purposes. And so it played some role. Then they don't have Michael Gallup, and then Zeke's not effective in the running game, and then they're down to Randall Cobb and Devin Smith, and neither one of them could win their matchups either. So It reminded me a lot of the Cowboys' passing game woes early last season before they acquired Amari Cooper.
That is what it reminded me of, too, and similar. Now you wonder, you don't want to revert back to 2 years ago and think, oh, my gosh, you remember how things fell apart for this team when they had Tyron Smith out for a pretty good stretch. And he was already, you know, having some rough times and had been beat up a little bit over there. Davenport is an impressive guy, the former University of Texas San Antonio player who I think was taken 16th overall a couple of years ago. Man, he has become an impressive player for these Saints. And so we'll see if the Cowboys can get back to their winning ways. But, Ed, before we talk about the defense, I want to hear this is a conversation you and a few other reporters, but you dominated this thing. You kind of big-bodied the other reporters. This is Ed Werder and Jason Witten talking about the big turnover that he had that led to points for the Saints.
Yeah, well, it's usually not the guy you see. It's the guy you don't see, you know. But, you know, line one for playing tight end is, you know, catching balls over the middle and securing the catch and getting first downs. And, yeah, you want run after catch, but they, you know, you got the hopes and dreams of the team in your hands, you know. And I've been fortunate over the years to make a lot of plays and disappointed that, you know, that was a huge opportunity for our team, get a first down midfield and have a drive and to have a turnover like that's costly mistake. You did a good job knocking it out. It's just you know, mistake on my part. You got to be able to protect the football and, you know, high and tight, put it away and secure it. So I'll learn from that and I'll be better. But that was a costly mistake on my end.
How frustrating was it offensively just to struggle to create any run game at all?
Yeah, you know, we just couldn't get it going. I'll have to go back and look at the tape. But, I mean, you know, that's a big part of our identity. You know, I thought Dak was really in command. I thought we handled the noise well. We just couldn't get a drive in with our running game. They're giving us some different looks. They're a good defense up front, and you know, they're challenging us, rolling some coverage to Amari, you know, kind of making it, forcing us to throw it underneath, and you know, we weren't able to sustain our running game enough. So, you know, you got to be able to go in these type of environments and play well. But it's a good football team, it really is, and we have a good team. Everybody's accountable. But, you know, you can't turn the ball over and win going against a team like this.
Can you take any solace, Jason, in the fact that things that hardly ever happen between you fumbling and Zeke fumbling on that fourth down carry, that it took those things to happen for you guys to lose the football?
Yeah, but it's just, you know, we pride ourselves in being a team that doesn't beat itself, you know, and that's been a formula around here, and, you know, that you got to be able to make those plays, you know, and they trust you to call it and throw it to you and give you an opportunity. And you know, when you're on the road in an environment like this and you turn the ball over, it's going to be hard to overcome it, you know. And so all I can say is it's on me. It was a huge mistake in that time. And, you know, our defense did a really good job fighting all night. You know, I mean, that's a good offense. It's a well-coached team, and our defense gave us opportunity after opportunity. So offensively, we'll stay together. You know, I mean, I thought the quarterback, Dak, I thought he did a great job staying in command and fighting to the end. That's what he's all about. So a lot of confidence in this team, but certainly, you know, a lot of work on my part to do and disappointed in the mistakes because, you know, all plays aren't the same, you know, in this league. And when you have one like that, it's hard to overcome it.
Do you feel like this team beat themselves tonight? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you give them credit, though. I mean, they earned the win. You know, they controlled time of possession. We couldn't get our game going, you know, outside of just the turnovers. I mean, they still did a good job defending us, you know. So, I mean, I'd be careful to say that, you know, just because I think they deserve credit for how they played, you know. But certainly when you turn the ball over at midfield, you're not going to win many games on the road.
To what extent did you feel like they created pressure on Dak and punished him at times? We haven't really seen that this year.
Yeah, I think they just, you know, are they were playing a lot of coverage, and so they were forcing us. They weren't giving up those big plays, those shot plays that Kellen and Dak have done such a good job. You know, they were preventing that, and that's usually when we're able to get our running game going. It forced us in some critical third down situations where you weren't able to kind of extend those drives. But, yeah, they threw some different looks. You know, they walk around. They do a lot of different stuff. And after our line, you know, the communication was really well. You know, we did a really good job of that on the road.
They probably had more penalties than you guys did.
Yeah, yeah.
So after you beat three teams that were obviously inferior to you tonight, you play a team that's of the same quality. Do you feel good about it overall?
Yeah, I feel good about where we're at. You know, I mean, that's a good football team. I mean, I think this team's going to be a really good team. We got a lot to clean up. You know, I think, just like I said after the Miami game, you know, the teams that play in January, they're the ones that continue to get better and learn from it. So you got to unemotionally go in there and watch the tape, build on the good, learn from the bad, certainly clean up the costly mistakes like the turnovers, and you know, that falls on me to get that corrected, and I will. And, so, you know, there's still a lot of confidence and belief in this team. Just disappointed in the loss.
You have 9 fumbles in 16 years.
All right, there he was. And, Ed, that's you got a little laugh after out of Jason there at the end. The man does not fumble much, but, boy, they had a big fumble. That was a great play, the guy coming up and punching that ball out. And that was, you know, that was interesting. Cowboys, what did you make of it, by the way, on the other fumble that that Zeke had? What did you make of that decision? You know, when the fumble happened, then it kind of became moot. Well, they went for it on 4th and 1. But when you saw Garrett do that, did that surprise you at all, or did that at that stage of the game, or what was your take on that?
I thought I was watching Barry Switzer from the sideline in 1995 in Philadelphia for a minute.
Load left.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a really significant risk. Obviously, they valued the ball at that point because they just didn't have a lot of possessions with it. And as far as the play goes, it sure looked to me that Elliott's elbow was on the ground before the ball had been pulled loose. And I just think that in talking to coaches in the league, there's a real frustration with the officiating, the replay officiating, the on-the-field officiating, that it's way too inconsistent and way too big a factor in deciding the outcome of these games. And I think the players and the coaches go into these games, and the biggest uncertainty of all is, how is it going to be called? How well is it going to be called? I just think there's a real fear of the officiating that shouldn't exist.
Yeah, I agree, and it seems like things are being over-officiated. They put strange emphasis on certain things, and isn't it weird that in a sport you can have a conference call with Al Rivershawn, or whatever his name is,
Riveron,
and I think Rivershawn's a park in Dallas, but that Al can get on a call and just go, "Hey, guys, stop calling holding." And then, like, the next week, it's like there's no holding calls. I mean,
I think it's a little more complicated than
maybe, but it just seemed like that's kind of what happened. But there's some kind of emphasis that's happened. For years, it was like, let's help the quarterback, let's help the passing game. Suddenly, they've decided, well, let's crack down on some of this offensive pass interference. And they've just gone too far. I mean, I don't know.
Cooper got called for offensive pass interference twice and said he's never played in a game where he's been called twice for offensive pass interference.
And both of them were questionable. I mean, these things, I mean, Michael Irvin has to be laughing at this stuff. Drew Pearson has to be laughing. These were kind of, you know, it's hand-to-hand combat. They're both kind of going back and forth. And then kind of at the last minute, I mean, I guess by the letter of the law, there's an extension of the hand or something. But, I mean, this stuff happening so fast. To call this stuff just seems so ridiculous, and it's not what people want to see. They don't come out there.
I'll say this: I think it's gone. For the most part, it's generally been the other way. The games are officiated in favor of the offense, and
well,
so
that's better.
I think way too often they call interference on defensive players when it really doesn't exist to the extent that it interferes with the ability of the player to make a play.
Well, yeah. And well, they should call nothing. They should. Yeah. I mean, it's just let the guys play when it's that kind of back and forth. I thought Lattimore actually played really, really well. Your buddy Tafoya called him Marcus twice in the post game, and she couldn't hear. Marshawn reached out. She says, "Okay, Marcus," and he goes. He tried to say it nicely. He's like, "It's Marshawn," like on the live interview with NBC. And then at the end of it, she goes, "Thank you, Marcus."
And maybe she should just go with the last name.
I guess so. But
Mr. Lattimore.
Yeah. And I understand what she did. There's a you know, a guy that was a great college player named Marcus Lattimore who had some, you know, horrible injury, and so that's probably what was in her head. But this is Marshawn, and the guy just had a really good game on Sunday Night Football, and she just kept calling him Marcus. It is the Doomsday Podcast. Ed Werder joining us just in the couple of hours right after the game. And he is now, Ed, did you see any of those clips on Twitter with Jerry just out being mobbed on Bourbon Street last night, out making his way around the French Quarter. Were you anywhere near when all this was happening? You've encountered Jerry in some late night situations.
Yes, I
in
have.
The past.
Not in a public situation like that, though. Even with his bodyguard Roosevelt, who Jerry jokingly told us before the game when we were discussing that very parade down Bourbon Street, where Jerry's got a drink and he's holding it out in front of him, and his bodyguard Roosevelt's right behind him. He claims he spends 90% of his time defending Roosevelt rather than Roosevelt spending a whole lot of time taking care of Jerry. But I think tonight's game probably sobered Jerry up quite a bit after his little his party time down in the French Quarter last night.
I think you're right. I think that'll wake you up in a hurry. Boy, I know he almost had the excitement the day before. The Hogs almost had a rare win at AT&T Stadium. Okay, it is the time we talk to Glenn Stretch Smith, one of your favorites. And we do the former scout and coach weighs in on all of this, and Cowboys lose 12-10. Stretch, if I had told you the Cowboys were going to hold the Saints out of the end zone tonight, I think you would have had a pretty good feeling about the Cowboys' chances. They were not able to get it done, though. How surprised were you that it played out the way it did?
Well, I'm surprised offensively that they didn't have more success running the football. I think that's really what it comes down to. Zeke had 18 carries for, I believe it was 35 yards. And I'm not one of those guys that likes to kind of dive into the stats before looking at it. But I think it's a telltale sign. And there were probably two times that I can remember in the game when it was second and two, second and three, and they would hand the football inside and, couldn't make a foot. And to me, that was really the determining factor and what led to a third down call late in the game. It was an incomplete pass to Cobb, made him punt the football back. And I think anytime you can't come up with those critical situations in that third and 1-3 range to keep the chains moving, those are the things that really kill you in a football game. And you combine that with, Witten turning the ball over and then the questionable call on the fourth down turnover. I think it's I think that's what led to ultimately them not being able to, maintain drives. And anytime that happens, it's usually not good. So I don't want to get into the gambling side and all that. That's why they air condition the desert, because I certainly am not going to gamble on football. But yeah, there's no way you could have predicted that right there and said that the Cowboys wouldn't have come out of there with a win.
Yeah, it very shocking in a lot of ways. So start with the offense. Dak didn't really get going until the third quarter. For whatever reason, he has owned the third quarter this season and continues to be flawless in a lot of ways in the third quarter, at least from a completion percentage standpoint. But Stretch, really big play came down to him missing a wide-open receiver in the end zone. I believe, was that Randall Cobb back there on the play where he's on the move, and he kind of tries to square up and deliver the ball, and he just misses him. And, Cobb tries to kind of make a diving grab, but he had gotten wide open on the scramble drill. I know that's one that Dak would desperately like to get back, because they had to settle for the 28-yard field goal.
Yeah, and he makes that throw. He'll tell you. I believe in his post-game press conference he mentioned, 99 times out of 100, I don't have to square my feet. It's comfortable making that throw, and those are the kind of throws that have to be made in really tight games. And I think, that's one of the handful of plays that you could point to say, that's a reason that they weren't able to come away with a win tonight. And I think that's something that, it's going to eat on them for a day or so, because that's a football game that they played well enough to go win. As we go through positionally right here to grade these guys, I think you're going to find out that, quite frankly, that the offense did not play well tonight because they did not execute, Matt.
All right, and so Dak goes back there and takes a bad sack. He obviously the one interception was a desperation type thing. But what are you thinking for Dak tonight, going 22 for 32?
Well, I mean, he gave you a serviceable effort. I mean, I don't think that he was, you know, I don't think that, my question initially is Cooper healthy? I mean, I think he's a little hobbled without Gallup. I don't want to put that as a grade on Dak, because you've got to grade him with the guys that he's got out there. But his comfort level is with those two guys. And when, you know, quite frankly, I think he's got about an 80% Amari Cooper did not have Gallup in there. And I think he never really got comfortable. He never got in a rhythm throwing the football like you've seen him been able to get in that rhythm and throw some of those deep overs and those deep, you know, what they call twos. And I think that's something, those play action passes that he's been able to hit. Whatever reason, it was not there tonight. I mean, I thought Dennis Allen, the defensive coordinator for New Orleans, did a nice job of changing their coverages up and doing some things that was a little confusing to him. But I think he got on track in the third quarter. I think he made some throws. I think overall, you give him about an average night.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm sorry, you're cutting out a little bit on the road there. The Stretch had some TV tonight. Did you give him a C, or what did you give him?
I gave him a B, Matt. A B. An average effort to me is a B, and that's what I gave him, a B.
All right. Boy, always, my average grades in law school, C. C was, I would take those and move on. So we have a little different definition of that. Now, going out to wide receiver, you said to you that the that Cooper looked a little compromised. What'd you think of the entire crew? Obviously, Smith didn't play a big role. Let's include the tight ends. Witten had the good catch, and then, of course, he fumbled it. And then Jarwin did make the one big play down the seam there. What'd you make of the receivers and the tight ends?
Well, overall, again, I mean, a very average night for all of them. I mean, you don't see Witten fumble that football very often. You know, the guy punched it out. I mean, you know, he hit it perfect and got it out of there. I thought Jarwin, you know, he has got a little burst and he can threaten. I like that they ran that seam route with him because they were playing cover two all night. But as far as, Cobb, Cooper, Smith, I mean, I just didn't see a lot there. I thought the two calls on Amari Cooper for offensive pass interference were terrible calls, and I mean terrible calls. So, you know, it's hard to ding a young man in those situations. Again, I thought just a very average night and a C for the receivers.
This officiating crew, Cheffer's crew, seemed to be maybe they thought they were getting paid by the call, and they were very active, and the emphasis on offensive pass interference, boy, if you're going to put the emphasis on something, that's a really weird thing to pick out, especially when they're going back and forth hand fighting, and then they call that. I agree with you. Pitiful on that front. What was the deal? Let's talk about the running back and the offensive line. Zeke did not get it going tonight and finally punched one in for a touchdown, but averaged about 2 yards a carry, which is just horrible by his standards. Was the offensive line just getting blown off the ball? What was the issue there from what you could tell?
Well, I do think physically they were getting whipped up front. I mean, I think Brown, you know, they got Brown over from New England, and Jordan, Davenport. I mean, they got whipped up front in the run game, and that's concerning for me. And they did a nice job in pass protection because the Saints, I believe going into tonight, had nine sacks. But they were, you know, they did a nice job in pass protecting. But, I mean, really, point, we can pin this on the coordinator. We can pin it on Mark Colombo. Pin it on the offensive line. I don't think their angles were good. I think schematically they got whipped, and physically they got whipped up front. And for that, if they don't pass protect the way they do, I mean, I would have given this group an F. But I'm keeping them out of the F category because they did pass protect, and I'm going to give them a D, but not a very good night for this offensive line. And they're going to have to go back and really straighten some things out because schematically they were out-coached, and then they were physically, they were out-whipped. And I think that's concerning.
And now Fleming will have to take over at left tackle. It looks like Tyron Smith, the early prognosis is perhaps a high ankle, and you know how long those things can take sometimes. We'll see how long he's out. That's been a problem in the past. when Tyron Smith has to be out for any length of time. Maybe Cam Fleming can come in and get the job done, but they're obviously going to help over there. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball. Pretty positive things here, holding them out of the end zone, and again, to hold them to 12 points, you always think you're going to go ahead and get the win when you do that, generally, and it didn't happen tonight. Let's work up front to start with. Robert Quinn was a monster. They just did not have any answer for Robert Quinn coming off the edge. What did you think about the rest of that defensive line?
Well, I think you know, it starts with him, and now this is his second game after coming off of that two-game suspension, and I think you saw what he can do, which is his speed and his burst off the edge causes you some real issues, causes you to grab him holding. It causes him to be able to push that quarterback to have to step up in the pocket. Those inside guys get that push. I think you're going to see the teams are going to have to start accounting for him a little more. I think that'll loosen some other guys up with an ability to rush. But I thought the defensive front linebackers played an excellent game tonight. And when I say excellent, I'm talking about they were in the gaps. They were filling the gaps. They did a great job. The few blitzes they run, they were there. They were where they were supposed to be, especially on that last blitz of Jalen Smith when he ran that loop around there. They pushed Bridgewater outside, got the big sack that caused, you know, took them out of field goal range. Up front, the front seven for the Cowboys, excellent job tonight, and I got to give that group an A.
Yeah, that's a strong grade for that group, and you're right, Hyder did some nice things, and they were playing some games up there, and they really did everything. I mean, the only quibble you could have was late in the game when the Cowboys' offense wasn't doing any enough and they needed to get them the ball back quickly. They did go ahead and let them kind of drive for a little while, but then, of course, they made a big play on the sack to give the offense one last chance. Linebackers, you knew this was going to be a huge game. They needed to have Van Der Esch and obviously Jalen Smith come through in a big way. What'd you make of the linebacker unit?
And they did that. They came through. I mean, they were able to. They played coverage well. They were on the edge where they needed to be. I thought you got critical third down stops out of Van Der Esch down there. Sean Lee did a nice job. This group is really good, and I think starting to come into their own. And the linebackers they played really well tonight. I'm gonna give that group a B+.
B plus for the linebackers, and then. Let's talk about the secondary. Finally got an interception, and that was a bobbled ball, but Heath came up there and sort of made the big hit. Ball bounces up there. Cheeto makes the play on it. What did you make of the safeties and the cornerbacks?
Yeah, I thought the secondary played well. I think they tackled well tonight. They got guys to the ground out on the edge. They did a better job covering, and like you said, I mean, anytime – you can get the turnover. I've been very critical of those guys getting their hands on footballs. Tonight they get the turnover early in the game, and that led them to an ability to stop a drive. So I thought they played well in the secondary. You got to know that Sean Payton is going to run. You know, he's going to run a lot of pick and a lot of rub routes. They were able to adjust to those. Now early, they hit the one. They hit the one about 19 yarder up the boundary that I thought. You know, they adjusted to where they run, kind of those switch routes and are able to, you know, get a natural rub there. But did a nice job overall. I think that I'm not sure I've given Jeff Heath enough credit this year because he really is a quarterback back there, and I've been critical of him being a half step slow here and there. But tonight he did a nice job, and I like the guy that can come up and support the run, and he can do that. So. Again, I'm gonna give that group a B+ as well.
All right, and special teams, nothing stands out that in a huge way. They seemed to do what they needed to do. Although they did give up. Trying to remember, wasn't there one return?
Yeah, there was one return that they gave up. But I mean, that can happen. That young man is, you know, that they do a good job with that. And anytime you hit that ball down the middle of the field. I mean, I if we're going to be critical, it's going to be a, you know, the ball placement. So I think that happens, and it'd be hard for me to be very critical of the special teams because, quite frankly, they did a good enough job. Special teams and defense did a good enough job tonight to win you the football game. This really gets pinned on an offense who, quite frankly, just went out and really didn't do much tonight.
And now they have to regroup and get ready for the Packers. I mean, this is a do you feel, Stretch, you've been very bullish on this team at 3-1. Part of that is because you look around the league, saw the Rams get run off the field today by the Bucks, and you felt, hey, this has to be one of the better teams in the NFC. Does this result change the way you think about the Cowboys?
No, it doesn't. I think you have these kind of games. Now, I do want to see how this team adjusts. I mean, everybody wants to make Kellen Moore the next guru of gurus at 31 years old, and I think he, you know, if you're going to say, well, he's the only guy that's calling the plays, then you better pin this on him. I'm not sure that's my feeling. I think this is a combined effort by everybody, but I think you'll see this offense adjust. I think they will adjust even with Fleming at tackle. I think this team will, you know, go back and brush themselves off a little bit and come out and say, hey, you know what, right now, we got to get back to running the football and be physical, and I think that's exactly what you'll see them do next week with Green Bay coming in here.
It sure would be nice to get Gallup back in the lineup. I think that would help. Stretch, appreciate it. Had a late night tonight down there at Channel 8 with Dell Hansen, and then jumping on with us immediately afterwards. I appreciate it, sir.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
There he goes, Glenn Stretch Smith, with his stretch plays, and was able to help us out with all his grades. It is the Doomsday Podcast. Let's discuss this defense. And 3 field goals or 4 field goals is what it came out to, and held them out of the end zone. I thought the defensive line, for the most part, I mean, obviously Kamara made some plays, but Quinn has been quite a revelation. I mean, this man comes screaming off the end there. And so any thought that this was just some kind of old veteran who might show up hat in hand and just happy to be here, this is a force. And in the first couple of games, he's had every bit as big of an impact as DeMarcus Lawrence, it seems.
I would say bigger. And obviously, credit to Will McClay and the pro personnel department to recognize Robert Quinn's value and his ability. When they signed him, I know, in talking to people in the organization, they felt like he was a one-year guy. He'd probably play, you know, at his best possible level because he's going to be looking for a big contract after this year. They still thought he had a lot of ability. They still saw him as like a 7 to 12, you know, a guy who could get 7 to 12 sacks in a season. And I think they've underestimated him because what does he already have, four or five? He has to hit 3 in this game, and he's only played 2 weeks, so he's had a devastating effect on their defense. And then Jalen Smith, used as a rusher late in the game, got the big sack on Teddy Bridgewater to push him out of field goal range and give the Cowboys offense one more shot where all they needed was a field goal to win the game.
Yeah, I thought that was amazing back there around midfield, and Van Der Esch made some great plays when they really needed him. So the defense linebackers.
Tito Ouzier finally got them off the side on the interceptions.
Were you just shocked? Did they stop the game for a while after the interception?
It was a ceremony, brief ceremony. I think the Cowboys went into this weekend as one of 5 teams that did not have an interception. So they no longer are part of that infamous list anymore.
Yeah, the Broncos were the team that had 0 takeaways and 0 sacks through the first 3 games. Now, they came close today to getting a win. I don't think they were able to pull that one out. But
No, they're 0-4, but they did get a couple sacks.
Okay. All right, good.
Vaughn Miller has gotten to 100 for his career.
Okay, Vaughn Miller has turned a corner there. But, I mean, Cowboys have to continue to be, I mean, to be in that environment, even with Teddy Bridgewater as the quarterback, still has some weapons. And Michael Thomas is a great wide receiver. Kamara, one of the best backs you'll see. And to hold up like they did, I mean, they kept giving. I mean, the only time I would say, you know, they got gashed a tiny bit. They were trying. They could not get that ball back. And, of course, there were some calls that went against them. What did you make of the personal foul against Lawrence? when he went down low. I think he was trying to argue that he almost got blocked, but he did extend his hands, and ball was already out.
Of all the quarterbacks in the NFL who deserve being protected from being hit in the knees, I think Teddy Bridgewater is probably first on that list, given the devastating knee injury with the torn ACL and the dislocation that, you know, really not only threatened his career, but threatened the limb. He was fortunate that they were able to save it, and he was able to come back and continue his NFL career after, basically a two-year absence. So I think every quarterback's probably going to get that call, and Teddy Bridgewater is certainly going to get that call, and it's probably going to cost DeMarcus Lawrence about $40,000.
Wow. Is it weird for you still to see the quarterbacks that, like, wear two gloves? For some reason, that is the strangest thing to me, to see Teddy Bridgewater back with kind of the double glove look. It almost is like if one of us decided to show up and play golf in two gloves. That's what it looked. I mean, we're so used to seeing wide receivers with that look. We just don't see quarterbacks with that look.
You know, it's interesting because I've talked to Troy Aikman about that, and obviously he was a guy who had issues with a wet ball. If there was, you know, perspiration on the ball, if it was a hot, humid game, and of course most of his career was played at Texas Stadium, so it wasn't an indoor facility. He says he would have probably played with those gloves. That he's thrown the ball with those gloves, and like Peyton Manning, probably would have evolved into wearing those because of the benefit in terms of being able to grip the football the way you can when you wear those things.
All right. Well, you know, parting thoughts as we start to say goodbye from New Orleans. I mean, this is a city that Ed has really come to love over the years, and you've got a lot of friends there, and you know these people really well as part of the Saints. Ed, I wrote something about the fact, Sean and I used to have a great relationship. I kind of severed that many years ago, but did you get a sense after the game? I know you were probably primarily staying with the Cowboys, but I know you check in with your people from time to time. Do you think they just have to be elated to get out of there against this Cowboys team that had been so good, but with a 12-10 win, not even getting to the end zone? I mean, that is not a Sean Payton-like win, but again, he'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, I think they knew that they were going to be challenged to score points themselves against, you know, a really good defense with their backup quarterback and really only, you know, two big play weapons in Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas. I mean, every once in a while, Ted Ginn can make a play in a vertical passing game, but in terms of dependable guys who can do it down after down or at any time in the game, that's really what the Saints were facing. And I think they had, you know, great regard for the Dallas defense. That being said, they also felt like they were by far the best team that that the Cowboys had faced from a defensive point of view, that they were going to be able to bring factors and challenge the Cowboys in a way they hadn't been by three relatively weak opponents. I think the Saints really felt like the Cowboys hadn't played anybody. And so, in fact, one coach said to me, look, they're good. They're the best offensive team we played, but they're not the 93 49ers, and they're certainly not the Cowboys teams that won three Super Bowls back in the 90s. They're not there yet. So I think, you know, it's a personal situation with Sean. I'm sure it's rewarding, A, to win at home in a game between two, you know, good NFC teams. I think it's personally rewarding for him to win under the circumstances that they did without their starting quarterback. I mean, it's not, as I said pregame, you know, the Cowboys are one of the few teams that came into the Superdome since 2006 when Drew Brees signed with the Saints who had the advantage at the quarterback position. And even though they did, the Saints defense pretty much wiped that out, and the Saints wound up winning the game anyway.
It was wild. And the one other thing I meant to bring up, did you see that side judge at one point when they didn't know what to call? Dak's arm got hit, but the ball went forward. He was obviously going forward with his arm, but the ball bounces out there, and like nobody blows the whistle. And there's
play out as a potential defensive touchdown because of what happened in the Rams Saints game a couple weeks ago.
You're totally right, but did you see the side judge? He put his palms up in the air, like I have no clue what to call
here. What happened there.
It looking back, that infamous game where the poor guy called the replacement refs That's really what that guy should have called. He should have just put his palms up like, I have no clue. That would have been better than signaling the touchdown.
He should have said, it's all up to you in New York, Al.
That's right, Al. Oh, man. By the way, I think we're going to see, this is a Mosley prediction on these officiating. You're going to start seeing the cornerbacks and safeties flop. They're calling so much now, they're trying to call this offensive pass interference more, and they're taking a peek at it. You're going to see these guys, either when they're beat or whatever, they're going to start flopping like they're soccer players or something. I'm telling you, these are the unintended consequences that happen, and that's why I should be on the competition committee.
Well, let's make that a reality.
Yeah, I think.
We all deserve that.
I think so. Ed, good work. Appreciate you, man. Live from New Orleans. Any parting thoughts from you? I think you've had some really some good things to share with us. Any last words?
Nothing in terms of an overview other than, you know, I don't think this is a loss that is sort of going to define this team. I expect that going forward they'll have more games where they're prolific on offense. It'll be interesting to see how Kellen Moore handles whatever, you know, second guessing there is about his play calling, which I guess a little bit has already surfaced. I know that Dak Prescott stood up at the podium and said, I know what kind of team we've got, and this doesn't diminish my expectations or confidence in this team in any way. And I think that's probably the best way to put it for the Cowboys quarterback at the moment.
Well, we remain confident in this podcast. And, Ed, safe travels to you, buddy. And Frito and I, we're here at Broadcast Central, Frito Nation Productions. Glad to have you on the front lines in New Orleans, kind of your old stomping grounds. And safe travels, and we'll talk to you soon.
Well, talk to me after we cover the game in Jerry World against the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers, and see where the Cowboys wind up with some of these injuries that they suffered tonight.
Oh yeah, I think they're ready to go. Cam Fleming, they're going to be okay. This was Kellen. Kellen just sort of he needed to lower the expectations a little bit after these first three games. They'll be okay. They'll bounce back, and we'll go from there. Thank you, Ed.
All right, boys. See you later.
There he goes, Ed Werder, live from New Orleans. Want to tell you this about MyBookie. Thank you, MyBookie. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet this football season, bet with MyBookie. Did you know you could bet on games after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. And if you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings, of course, and no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year. Just now, go to MyBookie. They'll double your first deposit. Whoa, that's big time. Use the promo code Doomsday, DOOMSDAY, to activate the offer. That's the promo code Doomsday, DOOMSDAY. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, that is the Doomsday Podcast. I want to thank Frito Friedman doing a superb job at our headquarters out at the Frito Nation Productions out in far north Dallas. And thanks to Ed. It's been an interesting night, to say the least. Cowboys lose this one 12-10. And you knew it was going to happen at some point. You knew that Kellen Moore was going to get some blowback. There's going to be talk of that they were trying to run too much on first down. There wasn't enough play action. They didn't change it up as much. And then we'll have to decide, was Amari Cooper compromised a little bit? He could not get much separation from Marshawn Lattimore, and that was very surprising. Can they get Michael Gallup back? Because Gallup, Cobb, and Cooper are a more formidable group, and then, of course, a huge thing to watch. How will they be with Cam Fleming over at left tackle, and how long will Tyron Smith be out? That's going to be an enormous part of this week, trying to figure out how they're going to overcome that. They're in much better shape than they were a couple of years ago. Cam Fleming's a decent swing tackle, but it is going to be a big fall off. All right, for Frito Friedman and the Frito Nation Productions, for Ed Werder, I am Matt Mosley, signing off after a 12-10 loss by the Cowboys. It is open season on Kellen Moore. Good night, everybody.
Well, Christmas lights are shining, stockings have been hung.